This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're continuing with part two of our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions today. One of the fun things about Q&A with Layla is you never know what subject we'll tackle, and it may be relevant to you, family member, or a friend. So keep listening, and we're sure that there'll be some take-home information that can make you healthier and live longer with better quality of life. So, Layla, what's our next question?
We've got an email from Marianne. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I wanted to optimize my thyroid hormones to feel better, address hair loss, cold, weight problems, etc. I've had classic hypothyroid symptoms. Since being on Armour Thyroid for about a year and a half, I've lost tons of hair, including eyelashes and almost completely gone eyebrows. I've tried Synthroid, Cytomel. I'm currently on Armour Thyroid again. I've heard warnings about temporary hair loss. I have had very bad skin welts and rashes the first time I tried Armour that took months to subside. My doctor said it would be hard to convert the dosage if I wanted to switch back to Synthroid.
No, not really.
I was wondering if you can shed light on this.
Okay. Once you start, you can't stop punning. So, all right. So something's going on here. And yes, indeed, hair loss can be due to hypothyroidism, but that's not the sole cause of hair loss.
That's true.
So either the thyroid dose isn't right, or it's not the right kind of thyroid. It's a possibility of an unusual intolerance to Armour Thyroid, you know, since it's a natural substance and it's got a protein content. And, you know, this I won't rule that out, that with the skin problems that developed with it or seem to be associated with it, that there's some sort of intolerance. I haven't seen that too often. What we generally tell patients who start on thyroid, they start on thyroid and they say, you know, I'm feeling better and more energetic, but my hair isn't growing back. And we remind them that when you start taking thyroid, it may take a year or longer to notice the hair coming back, because the hair loss that even continues to occur after you take thyroid is because the hair follicles were weak months ago, and they produced hair that was fragile. And even if that hair is growing out, it's not going to last, and it's not going to be very thick and durable. So sometimes there's a lag effect. Now, this person says they've been on the thyroid for a year and a half, so that should be enough to see if the if the thyroid is going to be the answer. The other part of the question is the doctor thinks they can't switch back to Synthroid. I've never found that that's a problem. Switching from one thyroid to another, I liken it to, you know, trapeze act, you know, when you leap from one trapeze to the other, and it requires exquisite timing to just get it right when you're doing the trapeze. So sometimes our first try, you know, when we say switch somebody from 60 milligrams of Armour Thyroid to 75 micrograms of Synthroid, that's an approximation, and that may or may not work for that person. And then we adjust accordingly. We may need several thyroid tests and several visits to evaluate how a person feels. But eventually we can get it right. It's not impossible. It's just maybe a little bit less than a rote equivalence, you know, what they say on the package inserts is not necessarily what happens in a real life person.
Right.
So
it's always a delicate dance.
Yeah.
Thyroid. Yeah. Interesting.
Right. So, I mean, other causes of hair loss. I mean, we mentioned one, which is iron deficiency.
Iron.
There could be an autoimmune condition of some kind, which often accompanies thyroid disease, because in thyroid disease, there's an autoimmune component, and sometimes it's not just about the thyroid. It may affect the hair follicles, causing hair loss. So, you want a more thorough workup, maybe?
Right. Alopecia areata, if something's going on in the gut and she's not making enough biotin, you know, biotin is also colonic. It could be, you know, maybe she needs additional biotin. That could be something. But there's a whole host of things we would look at.
Yeah, let's say, clarify what you're saying is that actually some nutrients get made by the bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract. And biotin and certain B vitamins and vitamin K are among the nutrients that actually get synthesized in your intestinal tract. So if you've taken lots of antibiotics, or if you have dysbiosis or an imbalance of intestinal flora, sometimes you may be...
Or take Nexium.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You may change your microbiome, and you may negatively influence the bacteria that are responsible for synthesizing beneficial nutrients.
Worst case scenario, Dr. Hoffman, some kind of pituitary tumor or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one can go on and on about the potential problems. But, you know, endocrinologists can evaluate that, or just good internal medicine doctors.
Yeah. Okay. Marianne, we wish you all the best of luck. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Oh, we've got an interesting question. I'm a long-time listener and was hearing your podcast about hempenol. When using it, does it show up on a drug test?
Yeah.
Love your show. Carlton Fredericks is a college professor, and you and Layla continue educating us. Many thanks.
Well, that's very kind. And I really appreciate it when people say that they were nurtured on Carlton Fredericks, who really set the bar for this kind of communication, which is educating the public about nutrition. And he also, for a while, had a college course, which was at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. And many of his listeners who were New Jersey residents or people flocked from far and wide to you know, in the day, you know, before podcasts. I bet if he were alive today, he'd be doing podcasts, because it's a very efficient way of getting information out. You know, you can fill a classroom with 100 people, but when you do a podcast, you know, like we've been doing, we had 160,000 downloads, last year.
Last month? Oh, last year. Okay.
Last month. No.
Yeah, last month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, for the past couple of years, we've had over 2.5 million downloads. So,
amazing.
So apropos of Carlton Fredericks, for those who do, you know, maybe some people might find this reference obscure. Carlton Fredericks was a pioneer, with a show that was sort of modeled after the original radio show called The Answer Man. The Answer Man used to call the radio show and you asked the craziest questions. The Answer Man was a polymath. He just would answer, you know, these incredible questions. It was like, performance art. And it was all live radio in the day. And so Carlton Fredericks had the idea that he would do, The Answer Man with the theme of health. And this started actually in the 1940s. And, what happened was, Carlton Fredericks really foresaw this whole thing with sugar, and fat.
Yes.
He really got it that fat, we need fat, and that our obsession with low fat diets was absurd. And he used to drolly comment about white bread, that white bread is very good. If you break a glass in your house, that, you know, get a, you know, piece of Wonder Bread and get down on your hands and knees and you can pick up the glass pieces with it. It's excellent.
There you go. You can clean your kitchen counter with it too, maybe.
Right. And, I think he said that, you know, corn oil was a great, door lubricant or something, you know. Yeah. So. He got it about polyunsaturated fats. He blew the whistle on trans fats long before people knew about it. He encouraged people to eat high protein diets. He told people that butter was okay. He told people to avoid sugar. And for that, he actually got put in jail. Literally. He was imprisoned.
Really?
He was imprisoned. So I knew his wife, early in, I mean, this is a digression, but I think people appreciate it.
I want to hear about it. Yeah.
His wife was my original radio agent. She helped me get my original radio gig. And You know, so I learned quite a lot about Carlton Fredericks, although I had always listened to him, you know, when I was driving a car or, you know, had a chance to listen to, because I was into holistic medicine, but I never thought that I would ever in any way, shape, or form be on the radio and be, you know, someone who might enjoy a comparison to Carlton Fredericks. He, you know, I idolized him. But he was actually thrown in jail. I believe it was in the 1950s. He was, I think he was in jail for like 2 days or something. It wasn't like a long thing, but he was actually, arrested for practicing medicine without a license, which is just, outrageous because, I mean, yes, he was dispensing advice, but it was of a nutritional character. But in those days, that was so controversial that the powers that be had him arrested. Mm-hmm. And his wife told me the story is that when he was in jail, she had to pawn her jewelry to make bail to get him out of jail. I think eventually they recovered the jewelry, but it, and she never told him. She just said, you know, he would say, where's that nice piece of jewelry that you, she's, oh, that's where I'm having it cleaned, honey. You know, she would spare, she would spare this great man from the stress of, you know, the fact that they were right down to their nubs in terms of their finances trying to, fight his legal battle. The other thing is that I remember as a medical student, I invited Carlton Fredericks to my medical school to give a lecture. And there was tremendous interest. There was so many people who signed up, hundreds of people signed up. And at the very last moment, the administration of my medical school, put the kibosh on it because they said,
oh no,
they said he's not qualified. He's not an MD. He's not qualified to deliver a lecture at our, institution on the field of nutrition.
You know, for crying out loud, he's a PhD in nutrition. Was he not at that time?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Wow.
So, and he taught at a university level. But that being the case, so enough of a digression on the Carlton Fredericks front. We could tell many stories about Carlton Fredericks. Many people, I mean, he died in the, early 80s. And so a lot of people who are alive today have no idea who Carlton Fredericks was, but he had a national show, very powerful and, you know, lots and lots of affiliates across the country. And he broadcast from my original radio station, WOR in New York. So
I remember listening to him as a late teenager. Honestly, that's when my interest grew. And anyway. So, do we remember the question?
No.
Hempanol, when using does it show up on a drug test?
Okay, so good question. Hempanol is something that might, I don't know the real answer on that, but if you're going for like a job in law enforcement or something like that, if you're trying to pass a security clearance, I would not take that because it might, while it's not like smoking pot, it might cross-react with a very sensitive tests that test for the active ingredient in marijuana. I probably not, but I wouldn't take a chance. And this, you know, actually, this can happen with poppy seeds on bagels.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, well, I had a poppy seed bagel yesterday as if to cover themselves.
Right. Well, that's true.
Before leaving their urine sample,
Right. Yeah. It's like, I had a poppy seed bagel. All right. That's not going to wash. I don't believe you. You know, it's like, no, you are stoned. No. I would, in an abundance of caution, I would avoid that if one were to take a drug test.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in my previous career at ESPN, I did dabble in human resources, and I was the one.
I thought you were
going to
say I did dabble in the little marijuana when I was there.
No. I dabbled in the new hires having to come through me. I would orient them to and send them to their drug tests.
Yes.
And I heard all the stories.
I had a
poppy seed bagel, so forth and so on.
Did you have to supervise them in the bathroom? To make sure that they didn't switch, you know, because there's all these things. They actually sell kits that provide you with clean urine. You can get them on the internet so that you go in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you seem to make your business. And then you come out and you say, you present a nice clean beaker of what is basically clean exactly. urine. You know.
Exactly. No, I would send them to the facility. But even more interestingly, Dr. Hoffman, back in 2005, when I went to apply for a position as a hospital dietitian, I had to go for said drug test, and I had to be watched while I gave my sample.
Wow. That's embarrassing.
Which was interesting. I said, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking to myself, most people probably couldn't go in this situation,
right.
but, you know, whatever.
It's performance anxiety. You know.
Right. Yeah. Anyhow, so it's everywhere, the drug testing. Well, as it should be, I think, opinion.
But who wants like a high security job, you know, somebody who's a user.
Right. Okay. Our next question. This is from John. We have an email. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you for your amazing programming. We're getting such nice comments today.
Very nice, yes.
My 83-year-old dad has been a fan of your program for many years, and as a result is in terrific health,
excellent.
Takes no medication, is very fit and active, mentally sharp, no signs of diabetes, heart disease, or high blood pressure, or any other chronic disease.
Great. That's a rarity. That's a rarity.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. 83 years old, too. My only concern is that my dad's skin has become very thin in recent years.
Yep.
And as a result, relatively minor insults to his skin can result in sections of skin peeling away and scabbing up.
Yeah.
Is there something he could take that would help alleviate this or optimizes the resilience of his skin?
Yeah. Of course, there's an aging aspect to this. And often sun damaged skin in lighter skinned individuals is more fragile, but it's, you know, seems to be part of aging. And one aspect of it is that it has to do with a decrease in androgen levels. So we generally think that men are more thick skinned than women, both metaphorically and literally. And one of the reasons for that is the abundant androgens that men have. And as you age, the androgens decline. And, you know, one way to address that is to go to a doctor, have testosterone levels checked and administer testosterone, which is, you know, cumbersome. And sometimes it's precluded by the potential for creating a risk for prostate cancer or exacerbating a pre-existing prostate cancer condition. So sometimes DHEA is a preferable alternative. And, you know, there are also some safety concerns with DHEA. We don't want to give it to someone with active prostate cancer, but it's available over the counter and it's generally, you know, a lot safer and may have a beneficial effect. One other thing is that one aspect of this skin problem is the susceptibility to bruising and bleeding, and that can be helped with vitamin C and bioflavonoids. And of course, vitamin K. And vitamin K is sometimes deficient in elderly individuals. Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things.
I would add zinc into the mix too.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
For wound
because
healing.
That can help
and
with
repair.
The healing.
Wound healing and repair.
Right.
Yeah.
So
there's another element to this. Is she doesn't tell us where the skin is peeling. You know, if it's on the lower extremities, it's sometimes due to venous stasis or, you know, poor circulation. In which case, there are supplements that help to promote vein circulation. But, it as you get older, wounds on your lower extremities take longer and longer to heal, to the point where people, you know, with minor bumps and scratches sometimes can develop, deep chronic ulcerations on their legs and ankles.
Yeah. Well, John, your 83-year-old dad is in the best of health, so adding some of these supplements, the C, the DHEA, the zinc, can only help.
Yeah, might be worth exploring.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more question?
Okay. We've got an email from Bonnie. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I couldn't live without your podcast. They're a big motivator for me to exercise because I listen while I work out.
The desired effect. Great.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. In an effort to avoid packaged breakfast cereals and bread for breakfast, I eat a concoction of various nuts and seeds, which I mix up myself.
Mm-hmm.
I eat this concoction about 4 days a week and eggs on the other days.
Okay.
Is the nut mixture overloading me on omega-6 fatty acids?
That's an interesting question, and probably...
I want to say no.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Bonnie is avoiding breakfast cereal and bread. And we know that the grains are mm-hmm. probably the biggest contributor, mm-hmm. besides other, you know, vegetable oils and things, of the omega-6 fats.
Right.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, Bonnie, if you're grain-free, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And your egg yolks, if they're good quality, you're going to get some beneficial omega-3 in there.
And so let's take a moment to discuss breakfast. I mean, I don't want to get into too long a discourse about that. But one of the things you sort of reframe your idea about breakfast. For most people, breakfast is either eggs or cereal.
Yeah.
And another way to have breakfast is to sort of rethink it and have, some leftover salmon, even soup mm-hmm. for breakfast. That can be nice, especially in the winter months. Instead of a big bowl of starchy oatmeal,
mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, some
sardines in the morning with some cucumbers.
Yeah.
Chopped red onion.
Or an Israeli breakfast. You know, when I was in Israel and working on a kibbutz, we would have a breakfast of, just a big, big salad with sardines uh-huh. and, tomatoes. And maybe some other protein source. And in those days, I think they were using, cheese in the salad. Some people mm-hmm. do okay with cheese, and dairy.
Wonderful.
Or, alternatively tofu, but, we have some people who are pretty concerned about excess soy, so we may not encourage that for some.
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually one alternative breakfast that I've been exploring, I've been having, using coconut cream, really sort of thick, heavy coconut cream,
uh-huh.
which is fatty, but that's actually better because it's going to produce more satiety. Throwing in some fresh berries and then sprinkling it with flaxseed and nuts. And that's almost like a crunchy breakfast. It sort of looks
like... It's like a parfait with the cream.
Yeah, it sort of looks
like... Instead of a yogurt, right? Yes.
It reminds me of Trix. Trix breakfast cereal.
Uh-huh. Trix are for kids.
Trix are for kids, but, that's coconut cream with... And that's substantial because the cream is fatty.
Yeah.
The one thing that mm-hmm. might be a little low on is protein, but you get some protein from the nuts.
Definitely.
And, so that's another way to go.
Yeah.
So just one thing parenthetically on nuts is that mm-hmm. when you're on a paleo diet and you're not having a lot of sugar and you're not having a lot of grains, nuts become a convenience food. And mm-hmm. so one thing that the authors of the Whole30 say is that, nuts are fine, but don't just, eat nuts all the time because, in effect, you're just going to have a bit of an unbalanced diet. You really need to stick to the fundamentals of big salads,
right.
fish, chicken, eggs, meat, poultry, mm-hmm. Lots and lots of fresh vegetables and enjoy
yes.
some.
And can, fruit. Mm-hmm.
And you can enjoy some starchy vegetables as well, depending on your weight. So.
Right. Okay. All right, Bonnie. Thank you very, very much for your email. Best of luck to you.
And thanks, listeners, for all the kind comments. They really encourage us to keep on producing these podcasts. And another way that you can help subsidize these podcasts and make sure that we have continuity is to patronize our Hoffman Center store. Go to dearhoffman.com, click on the shop button, look for our store. And there you can see many of the products that we reference in these podcasts. You can order them directly from us via email, via the internet, or you can call the Hoffman Center and find a product that's suitable for you. We appreciate your patronage. Thanks, Layla, for helping out today. And
thanks, everybody. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.